Turn in your Bibles to the third chapter of Colossians. And look with me at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'm going to speak on the second prayer meeting in the Dead Town Church. We had the first prayer meeting last Sunday morning, and we learned a few things about this Dead Town Church. I trust we'll learn some other things about it. Its pastor was a Reverend Dr. Goldslow. But we discovered that he has now changed after the first prayer meeting in that dead church to Pastor Speed. And he is now referred to by laying emphasis on his largeness. He's called the Big Minister. So he has a change of names, for something has happened to him. He has begun at last to throw his great weight around him by having the church building completely cleansed and scrubbed. The caretaker was alarmed when all the instruments of cleansing suddenly appeared and just as speedily disappeared. The result was miraculous. With the originals in every era of fittings and furnishings for the first time, their neighbors were struck almost dead as they saw what these pieces of furniture were like when they were cleansed. And what a difference when the gathering of the dust was over and the whole inside of the building seemed majestic. The great big desk that we were told about last Sunday, with the word Ichabod emblazoned upon it, it had suddenly walked out. The church officer, when he was questioned by the elders, Messrs. Torrey and Mr. Browndoff and Mr. Sleepy, who had woke up at last, they were icily informed by the church officer that the former Dr. Goldslow and now the big minister, he had taken to wood chopping every Monday morning, and he did this wood cutting. The number was soon thought out, and they discovered the chippings of that old wooden Ichabod in the backyard of the church. The number at this second prayer meeting was 120. And the pastor noticed it was a Pentecostal number. And he drew his Bible out and he read about the 120 in the upper room. And he said, "Oh God, may this 120 people receive what they received in the upper room." The music was changed, for the people didn't ask, "Are you in tune, or out of tune, or you have no tune at all?" They sang, and there were people out of tune, and there were people in tune, and there were some people with no tune at all. But it was marvelous music. For the first time, everybody woke up. There was no yawning. There was no sleeping. Everybody was wide awake. It's impossible to sleep when God the Holy Ghost comes down. You try it. You'll get no sleep when the Spirit of God comes with all His power. The Spirit of God is an awakener. He wakens people up. He doesn't put them to sleep. And there was awakening and rousing music. None of the songsters who sang with new power seemed to worry what had happened to their false teeth. They rather, like false teeth, stayed together. And as they stayed together, there was real Christian unity. The attendants all wondered how this prayer meeting would go. Well, it did more than go. It got into overdrive. The preacher called on three members of the choir to open the meeting with prayers. What a shock. One person whispered, three prayers for an opening. My, if they're the same length of the usual petitions, we'll be having the benediction immediately. Many did not expect anything else. But the leader who was called to lead these people to pray, Mr. Will Smith, he led his two companions to the piano and they sang a prayer. What was the prayer they sang? Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to lift up the banner of the cross. A relief ran through the whole congregation as Daniel was released when he saw the mouths of the lions closed. So there was relief when they saw that it was going to be short praying. When the chorus ended, the pastor hastily exclaimed that everyone would do the reading of the scripture from the Bible together. At first only part of the congregation joined, but it was not very long until the whole congregation joined in perfect harmony. Then the ministers requested, to the surprise of the majority of those present, that an elderly lady known as Faith Williams would lead the church in prayer. She admitted freely afterwards that she was very reticent to do this. But she said the text that came to our minds was we should always pray. And I knew I would be fighting with God if I didn't pray, so I obeyed and prayed. The congregation felt this dear saint of God so different from the galaxy of spiritual Sinn Feiners. We ourselves alone saints, and there are many of them in the church today. The canonized group who individually take to themselves, as we saw last Sunday, Saint Myself. So the pride that dug hell and damned the devil, as Mr. Nicholson used to describe it, was righted that day in that prayer meeting. To the surprise of everyone, Brother Brand stood up. He had been running an open war with one Mrs. Sayles and had sought to completely discredit her in the congregation. He confessed with great brokenness his wickedness and sin and sought her forgiveness. This she granted in a blessed demonstration of Christian forgiveness, and a wave of Calvary love engulfed the whole service. Her word ended with tears of joy, and the whole congregation joined in joyful praise and thanksgiving. Brother Brand sat crying but rejoicing. And then the congregation sang a glorious old hymn written in 1808 by one Anne Sturton. While Jesus in love my affection engages, with softest emotion my soul does overflow. This sweet consolation each trouble assuages. He'll never cease to love me. Ah, never. Oh, no. No dark, no satanic, no strong accusation, no watery deep through which burdened I go, no sin, no uncleanness, no hellish temptation can change his affection. Ah, never. Oh, no. Drove out of myself, my own righteousness loathing, to Christ, my dear Savior, for shelter I go. He graciously feeds me and gives me a clothing. He'll never forsake me. Ah, never. Oh, no. I cling to his cross. Here I see my salvation. 'Tis finished complete. I'm redeemed from all woe. I read and rejoice. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Ah, never. Oh, no. Since Christ is my head, this with joy I remember. His body to which with affection I glow. Although I'm the most insignificant member, can't be full without me. Ah, never, oh no. Triumphantly glorious, our head has ascended. O'er death and the grave, all of their power lying low. This gains us a rising when time shall be ended. Death no more shall hold us. Ah, never. Oh, no. We look and we long for his glorious appearing. Thy pleasure at home we more fully shall know. Safe lodged in his arms, all of thy glory them sharing, nor leave thee forever. Ah, never, oh no. No more shall we mourn that thy face you're conceding. No Satan, no sin, base intruders below, but ever behold thee fresh glories revealing. Amen. Hallelujah! Come, Lord, even so. And after they finished that long hymn, and every word of us was like an arrow to our hearts, we then sang old David Denham's hymn, The Love of Christ, the breadth of my Redeemer's love, in his atonement seen, with all his ransom people prove, when in his blood made clean. Its depth was opened on the tree when Jesus took our place, from depths of sin and wrath set free, we sing the depths of grace. Though we against him did rebel, its length in us was shown. It reached us at the gates of hell and drew us to his throne. Its height ensures eternal bliss and heaven's unmeasured store, a crown and throne where Jesus is and pleasures evermore. Another elder whom we have not yet mentioned arose. He was Mr. Daniel Lighthouse. He said the first Daniel determined that he would not drink the king's wine. He says, I have made the same resolution to God. He said, the prodigal son proposed to return home and seek the forgiveness of his father. He says, I have been putting things right in mind, and tomorrow, Monday, I will be putting things right with the people that I have wronged. And then he said this, the Apostle Paul preached it, and when he preached it, babes were born in the family of God. I'm praying that this will be a kindergarten, and we'll see babes born in the presence of God. Then the meeting was left open to all who wanted to declare themselves on whose side they were. Were they for a revival or against it? Will Smith declared he was going to give his voice to the Lord. He would no longer be singing the songs of the world, but the songs of Jesus. There was no doubt about it. William was speaking right on time, for many said, if you can do it, Will, we can do it too. More than 30 people spoke of their total surrender to God and declared they would, above everything, press for men and women to come to Christ and join the Church of God. Young people volunteered to join the Sunday school teachers and be trained for work among the young. Many apologized for praying long dead prayers, thinking to be heard for their long asking, and vowed that their long praying would be for home, but the short praying would be in the church. Many stood up and asked for prayer for themselves and their loved ones and their neighbors. By that time, there was no dry praying. All the prayers were soaked with tears. Many vowed publicly that their Bibles would no longer be shut, but opened at all times to direct their heart in the right way. The pastor pleaded with great zeal to the people to leave the old paths of backsliding and sin, and join the paths of sanctified Christ living and a profitable service in the work of God. An invitation was made for sinners to turn to Christ, freely offered them the gospel. 5 people publicly responded to that call. As the people left the meeting, another little card was placed in the hand of everyone at the service, reminding them that next week there would be a praise service, and urged everyone to come and encourage others to join for a heavenly touch and get a touch from heaven. The big minister announced that a fellow minister rang him up that week and told him to have a look at the fact that the Bible speaks about enoughs. The first one you will find in Genesis chapter 33, 9 to 11. Provision enough. The second you'll find in Genesis 45, 28. Proof enough. The next you'll find in Exodus 9. Punishment enough. The next you will find in Matthew 10:45, persecution enough. The next you'll find in Luke's Gospel 22:42, protection enough. And the last one you will find in Mark's Gospel 14:41, pay off enough. Jesus Christ is more than enough for the souls of man. Oh, that every one of us in this church would fall in love afresh with our Savior and our Lord. Do you not remember the day that he saved you? When he put out his nail-pierced hand and touched you. When you felt his kiss upon your lips, the kiss of forgiveness and peace. That was a wonderful day. That was a day when you first met up with the Lord Jesus. And I would challenge you today, has he ever let you down? Has he ever disappointed you? Have you ever said, oh, he's not what he said to be? My friend, Jesus never disappointed anyone. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He is Jesus, the Lamb of God, that took away our sins, that took our sins and our sorrows, that made them his very own, who bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. I would call you to search your heart. You need to get into a revival spirit. You know, many Christians today, their prayers are an insult to God. They just rush into God's presence and they rush out again. And then they blame God for not answering their prayers. How could God answer your prayer if you don't give him time to really hear what you want him to do? The Lord has been speaking to my own soul in these past days, and I've been finding great peace in my heart by taking more time just with an open Bible before me, and just looking carefully at words in the Word of God. Every word abideth forever. But remember this, you cannot live by bread alone. There's many Christians today trying to live by bread alone. It can't be done. But you can live with every voice that proceedeth from the mouth of God. I trust that today we will recognize the need for a great movement of God's Spirit. Oh, that God's people would make up their mind that sometime every day they'll close the door of the world. And they'll close the door to the family. And they'll meet with God in the silence of real prayer. And I believe if we'll do that, God will open the windows of heaven. And he'll pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. God does not bless people who do not take time to wait upon him. Go through the Bible and count every time God says, wait on me. That's not waiting for him. That's waiting on him. That's being the servant. Not waiting that we direct him, but that he directs us. You are the servant. It's time that we signed up for full-time service in our praying, in our Bible reading, in our witnessing. This world we're in is depraved, it's wicked, it's more sinful than it's ever been. Scandals are all abroad about how men live, how women live, how young people live. What a world. But there's one answer to it, and the answer is Jesus Christ. And we've got to get that answer to the people. We'll only do it and were revived in our souls. May God revive His work amongst us and give us the ambition and the love and the joy in our hearts to go and seek for lost souls and bring them to Jesus. For in Christ there is complete and total sacrifice. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the sweetness of Thy word. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt take us by Thy shoulder and shake us today. That we'll wake it up. We'll confess our prayerlessness and we'll confess the sinfulness of praying half-heartedly to Thee. We pray, O God, that Thou would revolutionize our Bible reading. Help us to love the Word of God. Not boast I read 10 chapters today, but boast that they were not long reading till Jesus came and drew near with them. And what did He do? He opened the Scriptures. O Lord, may we have an opening of the Bible with Thee every day. Change our attitude to the things of God. Change our attitude to the service of God. And change our attitude of working for Thee. We thank Thee that soon our labors will be past and we'll enter into that place where we'll sin and sigh no more. O Lord, may it not be a fruitless meeting in heaven, but may we go in bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that I can say, Thou art enough for me. And the people of God said, Amen.